The Mansfield Foundation was designated by the Congress to implement what's referred to as the Mike Mansfield Fellowships, and it's a government-to-government exchange between the U.S. and Japan.
Okay, so why don't we start there? Give us the background of the Mike Mansfield Fellowships, what they are, how they work, and then we can bring it up to date given the situation in Japan.
Sure. Well, the fellowships were established by the Congress in 1994, and the objective was to build a core of U.S. government officials with Japan expertise. At the time, there were a number of areas where the U.S. and Japan were working together, not always as collaboratively as possible, and also there were different tensions on a variety of issues. And the Congress recognized that Japan is an important partner to the United States, and it would be useful to have people throughout the federal bureaucracy who could help to manage that relationship. And it was a congressionally authorized program designed to build that expertise by offering a two-year fellowship. The first year involves full-time language and area studies training here in the United States. Fellows focus on Japanese language, building their proficiency either as beginners and advancing or to more fluency. And then in the second year, the fellows travel to Japan and they work in their counterpart Japanese government agencies. So annually we select up to 10. The legislation allows that number. They're from a variety of different agencies, and so from one year to the next, the issues change, but it really is all focusing on the relevance of the issue areas to the U.S.-Japan relationship.
Japan is going through a horrible time right now. How is that going to impact the fellowship and the program itself?
Well, that's a good question. We have in Japan now 5 Mansfield Fellows who are from a variety of agencies, and they're from Treasury, they're from the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration. One woman is with the Senate, and another person is from the State Department. Getting ready to go to Japan, we have waiting in the wings 2 fellows from the Department of Defense, someone from the Department of Energy. We also have someone from the Internal Revenue Service. And so all of those areas of finance and military cooperation and peacekeeping initiatives will certainly be helpful, because these are all the issues that Japan is facing in the wake of the earthquake, tsunamis, and this nuclear crisis that they're facing. Certainly the Japan Self-Defense Forces is welcoming the U.S. Support to help to manage the situation on the northern part of Japan, both for humanitarian relief, but also utilizing the resources to help to keep, as I understand it, the nuclear reactors cool by supplying water. We have had people from the FEMA at the time, now Office of Homeland Security, who are involved in emergency preparedness issues. There's certainly going to be economic consequences. Japan was certainly trying to recover from the same kind of global economic stagnation that we've been experiencing here. And so sort of sharing the expertise of what's going on in both countries and offering resources and support will be even more important, I think, in the months and years ahead for Japan.
We're speaking with Paige Cottingham-Streeter. She's the Deputy Executive Director of the Mansfield Foundation and Director of the Mansfield Fellowship. Now, as you mentioned, the Japanese government is under some stress right now, but are you getting signals from them that the fellowships are something they welcome and want to continue with, maybe especially because of the stress they're feeling?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, there are 5 fellows in Japan, and certainly in the initial days after the earthquake and the tsunami, they were themselves trying to recoup and make sure that their offices were operational, but they have all invited the fellows back to the offices, and the fellows are reporting to duty there now, and they are definitely looking forward to hosting the next group, which is the 16th group of Mansfield Fellows. specifically because they are working in areas where potentially there could be some greater sharing of information, learning from each other, and then down the road cooperating on future initiatives. And so we're looking forward to also accepting applications for the 17th group so that they can be waiting in the wings, so to speak, to continue building on this collaborative partnership.
It's interesting that they are there as this disaster is unfolding and as Japan goes through this really critical time. What is it the U.S. is learning because we have people on the ground there who are going through this fellowship program? Does this provide us with any extra insight that maybe we wouldn't have had they not been there?
You know, that's a good question. I think at the moment the fellows themselves are not in a position to communicate with the other government agencies that are managing the situation at the moment. But I anticipate that in the months ahead, and certainly after they return to federal service, there's a lot that they can share, specifically about Japan's response to an emergency situation, the Japanese decision-making process. You or your listeners may be aware that a couple of years ago, Japan experienced a major political change, and the Democratic Party of Japan is in a leadership position now, and so they've had a variety of different leaders, and people have been curious about what the new decision-making process would be. And so I think the fellows on the ground are getting a firsthand experience of what this new party is doing and the extent to which we're seeing intra-agency cooperation as well as bilateral and international cooperation.
And just by way of background, people eligible for the fellowships, they are career people. Do they have to be SES? What qualifies someone to get a fellowship?
Thank you for asking. This is a federal opportunity or a fellowship opportunity for federal employees. And we look for people who are at least mid-career, people who have been in federal service, consecutive service for at least 2 years. And the purpose for that is for them to have some expertise that they can share with their Japanese counterparts. The objective is for the fellows to learn about the Japanese government and how it works, to be students of Japan, so we're not necessarily expecting that they are going to go over and tell Japan what it should be doing or how it should be working with the U.S., but to learn about how Japan handles similar issues so that the two countries can work together and learn from each other. We are inviting applications up until April 1st of this year. And for those people who may not have the opportunity to apply this year, it is an annual program, and we would look forward to their attendance at information sessions that are hosted by the foundation and applications further down the road.
And I know you have five fellows there now. I just have to ask, I'm assuming you've been in touch with them. They're okay. They're not terribly shaken up or they're going through a hard time. Tell us where their heads are right now.
Well, thank you. The emotion has evolved. In the initial days of the quake, there was a lot of anxiety. Some fellows were in very tall office buildings, and so they actually had the opportunity to experience the reputation that Japan has for having safely constructed office buildings that can withstand a major earthquake. They experienced the swaying of buildings, the evacuation of buildings. Many fellows actually did have to walk home from their offices because the trains had been stopped. So they were, needless to say, a little bit shaken and tired, and there were certainly aftershocks that were unsettling. Some fellows relocated to the western part of Japan where they could experience a little bit more calm and normalcy. One family did relocate a spouse and school-aged children outside of the country just to ensure their safety. But as I mentioned, everybody is now reporting to their office. The trains, the fellows are all based in Tokyo, so the trains have resumed a regular schedule. There are a few rolling blackouts. My two colleagues in our Japanese office have been able to provide some support to the fellows in terms of information. Most of the fellows have had at least a year of language training, but the range of fluency varies. So we want to make sure that they're receiving information in English as well as in Japanese so that they can stay on top of the situation.
Wow. I think we have what we need. That's great.
Anything else you want to throw out there that we should know about?
Well, I guess the thing that I would say is, as an organization and as someone who's been involved in the fellowship for 16 years now, there is a certain sense of pride that we can see in the kind of crisis that is unfolding in Japan, that the U.S. and Japan are cooperating and that a number of the people who we send there are able to be a part of that process, whether they're physically on the ground at the moment or back in their home offices. They have a strong network of partners in Japan who they can support, who they can share information with. They also have an understanding about how things work in Japan so that they can hopefully be of assistance to Japan through this crisis, but further down the road to our mutual interests. So it's very satisfying to see that this is a strong partnership that can withstand this kind of situation.
That's what you established it for.
Indeed.
Indeed.